So let us begin. You're listening to Omid V'Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos, Amud Daf Lamates, Amud Beis. And we, not a very large Amud tonight, and we left off by the two dots. Itmar, so it was stated, we were just discussing Machlokes related to about how to break the bread when you're making hamotzi. Do you break it in the middle of hamotzi or at the end? And it looks like lahalacha, we hold that you break it at the end. But then now we're going to do a machlokas that's related to the discussion that opened up that previous discussion, and it could be it's a really similar case. So Imar was stated, have you lifnayim psisin v'shleimin? They brought before somebody psisin, like pieces of bread, v'shleimin, and whole loaves. So now you have these two options in front of you. Which one should you make a bracha on? Assuming you're going to eat both, right? If you're not going to eat both, you don't have to go out of your way for this. Presumably each one has a mila. Also, that one of them is that the mila is obviously a shleimus, it's a whole loaf, and the other one is the psisin. So, you know, what would be the thought to do that? So actually, Rashi says imratzam of. Let's first discuss Rav Huna's opinion. Amar Rav Huna says mevarich al psisin. You make a bracha on the psisin, on the pieces upoter as a shleimin, and you pater yourself from the shleimin through the hamotzi on the pieces. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Shleima mitzvah min amuvchar. The better mitzvah is to do it on the Shleima. So it's Shleimus versus what? So Rashi says, Imrotza, if you want to, Mavarech al Psisin. You don't have to. Now, Psisin gedolim min ha-Shleimim, Tzarech levarech aleihen. Now, if those pieces are bigger, then there's an obligation to do it. However, he seems to make it seem optional, meaning that, like according to Rav Huna, it would seem that Shleimus is not even like a factor at all. I think that's the way that Tosos understands Rashi over here. That Shleimus isn't a factor at all, according to Rav Huna, while it's like Rav Yochanan says, no, it's a mitzvah min hamuvchar to do the Shleima. But anyway, but halach l'maisa, if you have, let's say you have the case of your nafgamina, you have in front of you these pieces, and let's say they're bigger. Pieces are bigger than the whole loaf. So Rav Huna would say you should definitely do it. You must do it on the bigger piece. That's more important. While Rav Yochanan would say you can do it, that you need to do it on the Shleima. Okay. Now we just qualify this machlokas, aval prusa shel chitin, but if you have a piece of wheat, vishlema min hasaorin, and a full barley loaf, divrei hakol mevarech ala prusa shel chitin, upoter as a shlema shel saorin. Everybody says that it's better to make the bracha on the piece of wheat bread rather than the full barley loaf. Even Rabbi Yochanan, who generally is very into Shleimus, he says that the wheat takes precedence. And the reason for that is going to be, I mean, in general, wheat is more chashiv than barley. First of all, it's mentioned first in the Pasuk, Eretz Chita Usaora, right? But also, wheat is considered more of human food. Barley is often, was at least, animal food. In fact, it's one of the inyanim that's spoken about during Svira, that this Tekufa, where the Korban Omer was barley, and the Shtei Halechem on Shavuos is wheat, and it's discussed, you know, different ideas about how we elevate ourselves from the barley at the beginning of Pesach all the way up to the wheat, that we go from like animals to being elevated humans. There's a lot of discussion there regarding Sirsa Omer, but we know that wheat has a greater mila over barley, so much so that even Rabbi Yochanan would hold that if you have a piece of wheat bread, you would make the bracha of that over the full barley loaf. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba Kitanoi. Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba says, hey, that wheat barley case is actually machlokas tanoim. I'm going to explain according to Rashi. Rashi says, Hod demart prusa shel chitin, v'shleim shel saorin, v'chulek tanoihi. She says it's a machlokas tanoim. It's not so simple. Tormin, right? So here's the two Tanaic opinions. Tormin, batsal katan, shalem, Aval lo chatzi batzal gadol. So the Tanna Kamma says that when you take off truma, you're giving it to this portion to the kohen, and your options are a batzal katan shalem, a small yet whole onion, or a chatzal batzal gadol, chatzi batzal gadol. You have a large onion, but it's a half onion, so it's larger than the full onion. So what do you do? So the Tanna Kamma says, "Tormin batzal katan shalim, avolo chatzi batzal gadol." It's better to do the shalim one than to do the gadol one, if it's not shalim. That's what the Tanna Kamma says. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Loki. That's not true. Ela chatzi batzal gadol. Rather, you should do the bigger one. So it looks like so my lav bichak mifli. What isn't the following their argument? Isn't this what they're arguing about? Demar savar chashuv adif, umar savar shalem adif. One says that chashuv is the more important, and the other person says no, shlemus is more important. And then this chashivus that we're talking about is, it would be on the barley and wheat case, also in size in general. Generally, a size is it will indicate chashivus. Right, it's much better to have it bigger than smaller. A lot of times, you know, it's like a zit. Okay, maybe not. You know, but when it comes to portions of food that you want, so it being gadol is better than katan, and that is considered chashivos. Now, our previous discussion, when we're talking about the machlokis of Rav Huna and Yochanan, we're talking about size and that being chashiv. But then we say, but everybody agrees that. Wheat is for sure more chashiv than barley, so that's going. You know, that's clearly a discussion of chashivus. Now over here, there's a machlokas. Is it shlemus or chashivus? Which one takes precedence? And it looks like there's a machlokas right here in this mishnah. So the Gemara responds. So Marsar Shalim Adif. So hecha deika kohen kuli amala pligi. No, when there's a kohen around, this is not a machlokes. The chashiv adif. Everybody believes that chashiv is adif. What's considered chashiv in this case? Chashiv we consider the bigger onion, even though it's only a half onion. The large half onion is considered more chashiv. Everybody agrees that if there is a kohen around, that's what you're going to give him. When is this a machlokes between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda? Ki pligi. When do they argue? Deleika kohen. If there's no kohen around, that's when there's this machlokas. Meaning it's not a machloka, and let's flush that out a little bit. It's not, as we learned in the Mishnah, kol makom sheish kohen, whenever there's a kohen around, toreim min hayofeh, so you're supposed to take off truma from the nicest portion, meaning most chashiv. The kol makom sheein kohen, but any place where there's no kohen, toreim min hamiskayim, you should take off truma from the part that's going to last longer. The reason for which Rashi says is that sarach li Yisrael sheyetzni'enu, that a person should be able, that the Yisrael should hide it ad shim tzakoin litnolo, and until he has one to give it a coin to give it to. V'chatzi batzal ein meskayim. Now a half onion will not last as long, especially back then. You don't have like these like seal tight containers, right? So it's not going to last as long as a regular full onion. And the Tanna Kamma over here is saying that if there's no kohen around, don't take off the truma from the best portion if it's going to be a half onion. Rather take a smaller thing because that'll last longer, so that you could put it away and try to get it to a kohen when there's a kohen around. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda responds, Ein Torim Ela Min HaYofeh. Even so, you only take from the nicest. So what we clarified is that no, this is not a machlokis of shlemus versus chashivus. It has nothing to do with shlemus versus chashivus. This is a machlokis. It was, first of all, it's not every case that this machlokis. It's only if there's no coin around. And it's a question of what takes priority, the giving quality truma, or wanting it to last as long as possible so that you can actually get it to a kohen, as opposed to having to just like burn it or whatever. So, right, we thought this was weighing in on our machlokas. Nope, it's not. It's not a discussion of shleimus versus chashivus. It's a side discussion about providing truma for a kohen who's not around. Okay. Back to the regularly scheduled program. Amar of Nachum bar Yitzchak, and Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak says, going back to the previous discussion about shleimus versus chashivus in regards to bread and what you should make a motzi on. V'yorei shemayim yotzei yidei shnehen. But a yorei shemayim would be yotzei both of them. He would somehow fulfill both shitos. You have a shalem, you have a shalem in front of you, you have a larger, more quality not shalem in front of you, a prusa. So he would, yotzei yidei shnehen. Umanu, who is this yorei shemayim that you're referring to, if there's one in particular? Mar brei de Ravina. Mar, the son of Ravina. Why? What did he do? Demar brei de Ravina maniach prusa v'socha shlema. That Mar brei de Ravina would place the prusa inside the shlema. Rashi's girsa is maniach, look, you see, maniach prusa tachas shlema. You put it under. Ubotzeya, and then he would break the bread. So if he had a shalem and a prusa together, but the prusa was more quality than the shalem, so he'd put them both together and break them together. Rashi says, v'nimsu shteyem biyado, they would both be in his hand, ubotzeya, and both of them would break, o mishteyem, whether he would break from both of them, o min hashalem, or just from the shalem, but it would look as if he broke from the prusa. But anyway, he fulfilled both in that way. Tani, Tana Kamei Durav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. There's a Tana, meaning someone reciting Brisos before Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. And the Brisos said it as follows. Maniach HaPrusa B'Socha Shlema Botzeya Umavarech. Somebody who places, right, so what should a person do? He should place the Prusa a B'Soch, or maybe Tachas the Shlema, Ubotzeya Umavarech, as we just saw Mard Brei de Ravina do. Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to this person reciting Brisos, Ma Shimcha, what's your name? Amar Lei, he said, my name is Shalman. My name is Salman. Or Shalman, right? Salmon. Amar Lei, he said to him, Shalomata, peace to you. Vishlema Mishnah Secha, and your Mishnah is complete. Shesamta Shalom Bein HaTalmidim, because you placed Shalom between the Talmidim. So he says, it's very fitting that he's like, I had a feeling your name was something like along those lines. I knew it was like a Shlomo or something like that, because you, Shalman, that fits, because you brought peace among the Talmidim by resolving this machlokas, or getting out of this machlokas by this creative option. Even though he's just quoting a brisa, but by quoting such a brisa. Amar Rav Papa says, Hakol modim bePesach shmeniach prusa besoch shlema ubotzeya. But everybody holds that when it comes to Pesach night, you place the prusa within the shlema and then you break it. My time. What's the reason for that? Seemingly asking, what's the reason that everybody agrees that you take even the prusa over here, the broken bread? My time. Lechem oni ksiv, because the Torah says lechem oni, bread of affliction. Therefore, we want that brokenness there. Rashi says, "V'darko shel ani v'prusa," and the way of the ani is with a prusa, with a broken bread. Lefichach tzarch sheyira kibotzem in a prusa. Therefore, we need to make it look like you're taking from the prusa. And this is the source. I believe this is the source for yachatz. It could be Pesachim discusses that as well. But this is one. I guess at least one of the places of the source of yachatz breaking the middle matzah to have this lechem oni. Okay, Amar Rabbi Abba. And Rabbi Abba says, "Ubeshabbos chayv adam liftsoa al shtei kikaros." And on Shabbos, a man is obligated to break two breads. My taima, what's the reason for that? Lechem mishnah ksiv, because in Parshas Haman it calls the bread that fell twice or double on Friday erev Shabbos lechem mishnah. There was a double bread that fell. So every Shabbos we commemorate this double bread. This is the source, or the first source in Shabbos for lechem mishnah. That there's a double bread, a double portion of man. We commemorate that every Shabbos with the Lechem Mishnah. Amar Ravashi Chazina Le L'Rav Kahana. There's an interesting discussion here in the Rishonim that well, first of all, whether you need Lechem Mishnah or not on Yom Tov. right? Did the double? It's a machlokas, I think, based on different midrashim, whether the mun fell double erev Yom Tov or not, or did it fall on Yom Tov itself? And based on that, the nafka mina would be whether we would have lechem mishnah Yom Tov. Obviously, we hope we do, but there's also a question of how do you work that out Seder night, especially if you have the lechem oni, which is possibly a reason why we have the three matzos, so we can have a lechem mishneh with the two full matzos, but we also have the lechem oni, the broken bread, according to the opinion that you would only need two, that you only need a lechem, the broken matzah and a full matzah, you don't have a third. How do you have lechem mishneh? But it could be that we achieve that full lechem oni, even though in general we need two full loaves for lechem mishneh, but Pesach night, because of the status of lechem oni being elevated, you would that actually suffices for lechem mishneh, just to have one. That's a very interesting discussion that's going to also be based out of our Gemara. Okay, so now, so he said that you lechem mishneh ksiv, Amar Rav Ashi, chazina le'er Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi says, I saw Rav Kahana, dinukit tarti, ubatzachada, that he would take two, but he'd only break one of them. That he would take two breads for lechem mishneh, but then he would only cut one. It's a discussion in the first one, whether it's that he only felt the need to break one, he didn't mean, he's teaching us you don't have to break two, or he's saying he dafka only broke one, so that one could be left over, there was a miracle that mun typically didn't last overnight, but Friday night it did. That was the only time it did. So we're commemorating that miracle by leaving one of the loaves full for overnight. And so that's what he saw Rav Kahana do. The Rav Zeira, Hava Batza Akula Sherusa. And Rav Zeira would break it on all of the leftovers, which Rashi says, Prusa Gedola, he would have like a big piece, Shahaya Dailo Lechola Suda Bashabis, that he would break off a big piece of the bread, a big slice of bread, and he had it sitting on his on his plate, and that was like he kept that piece the whole meal. But he had a very large piece. They go and ask, I'm another Ravina, Ravina says Ravashi, that appears like you're a Rava Sanusa, meaning like a very hungry person, a person like with like a wolf appetite that you need big food, and it's not derech eretz, meaning it's not good midos to grab a massive piece. So he's doing this. He's making himself to be like a Rav Sanusa. Amarle, he said back to him, came to chol yom aloka avid hachi, va'idna ka'avid, since he doesn't do this all the time, and he only does it at this time, only on Shabbos, lo meschazi k'rav sanusa, he doesn't look like a Rav Sanusa, it's not inappropriate to take a large piece of the challah of lechem mishneh. Okay, Rav Ami, Rav Asi, ki hava misrami lahu rifta de ruva, so when Rav Ami and Rav Asi would, when they would take the bread of the Eruv, Rashi says, She'eru bo me'esmol erve chatzeros. Right, so just briefly, Erev chatzeros is that everybody donates and contributes, in a chatzer, in a courtyard, and the bread is put into one person's house, and it joins all of the people in the chatzer, so that you can carry in that, and that's called erev chatzeros. And so the piece of bread that was used, it would be in a different person's house. You switch around a different person's house every time. So when it was Rav Ami or Rav Asi's turn to take that, so they would take that bread, mevarchen ala motz lechem in aretz, and then they wouldn't say motzi on it. Amri, they would say, Hol v'yos avid be mitzvah chada, navid be mitzvah acharisi. Since we're doing one mitzvah with it, so we might as well do another mitzvah with it. It's kind of like a kos that you make many brachos on. You use the kos of benching for havdalah. So they wanted to do many more mitzvahs with it. It's a discussion though, how they could do this with the Erev Chatzeros bread, Right? So it could be that they ate it on Sunday, or they ate it from Lava Malka or something else. But if they ate it on Shabbos, so it's a machlokas whether that would be problematic or not. I think this is actually probably a raya one way. So it could be that as long as the bread was whole and in good condition at the onset of Shabbos, it could be that it functions in Eivor Chatzeres. And this would be the raya because they ate it. And then there are those who say, no, it needs to last throughout. And this would not be a raya. And they ate it, I don't know, Muntzah, Shabbos, Sunday at some other point.
What's the mitzvah to eat it on Sunday?
Oh, good question. Yeah, so I'm not sure. It could be that's why I thought to say Malava Malka. That's why I thought to say that. I'm not sure what it'd be on Sunday. Just want to say hamotzi on it. You want to eat it? Yeah, I hear. Maybe it was just
maybe a bris. Eat it so you could bench, and that's a mitzvah.
Sorry?
You eat it so you could bench, which would be a mitzvah.
Yeah, but then you always do it with bread, like. Like, what's the chiddush over here? So, yeah, it could be like a Rosh Chodesh, but yeah, I guess in Lava Malka, I don't know, if it was matzah, it could last a week, and maybe they had it the next Shabbos. It's another possibility. Okay. I should call it here.